This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bama Wall Hangers podcast. We're here today in the shop again with a special guest right beside me. And then we've got Sawyer and Tucker. But our special guest today is Mr. Kirk Porter that I'm excited he's here. This was something that me and Tucker talked about when we started, being able to have an officer or have anybody agree to let him come on here. And it's not to get this guy on here and beat him down with questions that I'm sure he catches anytime he goes to Walmart or anywhere else, but it's to kind of get a connection to where from time to time we can have somebody on here to share some information and just let you see that it's a real person, that he likes his job, and there's a reason behind it, and that I feel like we need a connection there, and it's good to get some information out to folks. I've listened to some podcasts in the past that have different people representing different things, and sometimes it's helpful for somebody just to hear these guys and hear what is important to them and maybe the reason behind they do things, because there is a reason behind every law, and there's a reason that we need this, is because some people don't like to do things the right way. Whether you want to agree with it or not, there's a lot of bad people that need to be told what is right and wrong, especially as far as the wildlife and taking care of things in the state. So I guess I told him just before we started that I was going to say, you know, he don't have much size, so I didn't feel like he was really good at football. I will never run from this guy because I can't run from anybody. But if you want to, man, introduce yourself. Tell us what you do, what your title is, maybe what got you here, and we'll start from there.
All right. Well, I appreciate the intro there. Y'all are kind of hard up for guests when it gets down to the game board in the area. But I'm glad to be here. I love listening to podcasts, and I'm excited to listen to some of y'all stuff. But my name is Kirk Porter. I'm the game warden here in Fayette County. I'm the only one here, but my official title is Area Sergeant, Conservation Enforcement Officer, Area Sergeant. So I'm kind of a low-level supervisor for our area, and yes, I'm based out of Fayette, but we cover the whole northwest portion of the state.
Okay.
So I get to go and do and see a lot of things. So that part's pretty cool, and I'm, you know, very appreciative of that.
Okay.
How I got into this, I have grown up. I mean, as you'll see, I'll show you a picture here in a little bit. I mean, since I was a boy, just like I'm sure all of us sitting here at the table have started when they were very young, yeah, with a love of the outdoors and appreciation for it. And, you know, that's just what we do, and it kind of becomes a part of who you are. And so growing up, I knew – when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life,
right,
I knew it had to be something those lines,
yeah,
you know. And when I was about 12 or 13 years old, a game warden started coming to church with us.
Yep.
And y'all are well aware of who that is. His name's, yep, Ernie Stevens. He's still an officer here in the state, and it's so funny. And
he's a good guy. He's one of my best friends, guy, man. And I don't ever see him.
Yeah. I just called him a few weeks ago, really. Talked to him.
What's so funny is this is not in any way arrogant, but
yeah,
Ernie is the reason I got into the game warden, and now technically I'm his supervisor.
There you go.
who knew when a 13-year-old boy, you know, came into church? But anyway, got to know Ernie, and
yeah,
and he kind of became part of our extended family there. And
yeah,
And so he kind of, you know, I saw a little bit of what he did. I didn't see a lot, but just getting to hear some of those stories and getting to know him as a person, it kind of gave me a foot in the door there, introduction.
That dude, he goes back with us for a while. He used to come here and lift weights. You can look now and not tell that I did lift weights at some point in my life, but we've got a shop at our house. And when Tucker was a baby, and I'm talking about like stroller age, he was passed around by me and Ernie and Jeremy in the gym when we'd lift weights in the afternoons. And when Ernie told me that he was moving, man, I helped him move. And it was really upsetting to me because it's hard to find, and I don't want this to sound corny, but it's hard to find guys that you feel like are your friend and that have some pretty good morals about them, and they seem like to be good people. I'm not saying I don't have friends like that here in Fayette County now, but he was a good one. And I don't get to see him a lot, and he don't often answer the phone when I call him. That's not, but then he calls me back. But no, man, I hated when he moved, but now that you got it, moved somebody else into Fayette eventually, right?
Well, I'm still trying to work on Ernie and get him back to Fayette. But
I would try to help him get a spot somewhere, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right.
So
what you got next?
Well, no, I was just kind of going to go a little bit further into that. Okay. Ended up, like you kind of briefly mentioned, I don't know that I'd have gotten to go to college had I not, you know, been as big as I am and gotten an opportunity to play football.
That's
there.
A blessing, man. Yeah, no, nothing wrong with that.
And so it gave me, a huge lift in life and learned a lot of tough lessons through it. But it also gave me the opportunity to get an education. And then talking to that, you know, I had honestly, one of my passions is kind of wildlife management, wildlife conservation, habitat management.
Yep.
And so Jacksonville State didn't necessarily offer that, but they offered I could get a biology degree and go into that. And so that was my plan. Yeah. And Mama told me that I could do anything and be anything I wanted to be when I was growing up.
There you go.
But she did not tell me how hard genetics was.
I understand.
And so one of my first classes in college was genetics for that wildlife biology degree. And I don't know that I ever made, you know, above a single digit. And so I realized we might need to call an audible there. And so, knowing Ernie and kind of knowing that there were more options, I started kind of leaning towards that and ended up getting my degree in criminal justice.
Yeah.
And did an internship in college with the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources there in District 2 near Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And kind of from that, just steadily progressed into the job after I finished up my college career.
That's some pretty country out there.
Man. Yeah. It's pretty. I do. I loved it.
So I guess I see pictures every now and then on social media. I think you're an outdoorsman, number one. So we know that. You just talked about how much you like it. You got the kids involved. So things that I enjoy that more than anything, getting time with Sawyer and Tucker. We don't have a lot of time. That's the biggest issue. And I'm sure you probably deal with trying to find time to do things that don't have to revolve around work when you can get out and just do what you want to do. I'm sure the seasons keep you busy.
Yeah.
What about, I guess, I used to get tickled like when Ernie was over here working out. I tried to make it a point every day to never mention anything about hunting.
Yeah.
Because I felt like if he goes to get gas, a biscuit, a drink, anywhere, that's what you get approached with continually every day. And I kind of understand. I do physical therapy.
Yeah.
If I need to run to Walmart at lunch real quick to pick up something for the clinic, I have to assess two or three necks, or my buddy that was just there wants to show me how to move his arm. And I get it, you know, but that's what we do for a living. So you got to like it. Yeah. And you know it's important to people, but it cuts into some of your time sometimes, and I get it, you know.
It does, and it is. I try to keep that mindset of realizing, you know, people associate you with what you do for a living.
That's it.
And when you're the only person in a county or an area that does that for a living, it's like they save up every ounce of energy and question that they've ever had
to come at you.
And that's fine. That's part of the job and that's part of the territory. But man, you're right.
It's hard to separate it. And you have to. And I know you've been doing enough now that you kind of figure it out. But either way, that's something I can see. And I tried my best not to be that guy every time going, hey man, what about this? Because that gets old. But either way. Tucker, you got anything you want to ask him today while we got him here?
If somebody's wanting to look into being a game warden, what's one thing that you would tell them to do?
What's something they're going to not expect, too, I guess, you know?
Something to see. Let me start by saying this.
Yeah.
We, like every other profession, have a shortage in good quality candidates for what we do.
Yes, I got you.
One of the issue I think we face is that, you know, becoming a game warden is not, it's not a necessarily a hard process, but it's a long process.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, people that may be interested, they may go and get another job before we actually get around to,
yeah,
to hiring them and stuff like that. So if you're interested,
yeah,
you need to be serious about it.
Yeah.
You know, you may take the test and not get, so we have a testing system. The state does, state personnel board, and you have to place band one is the goal.
Okay.
Well, so many people get band two and then they just give up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's common to get in band two nowadays. So if you fail the test, or if you're not failing it, but if you need to get hired, well, hey, just go retake it the next time.
You got to stay pretty adamant.
You got to stay at it. That's right. And anything that you can do, you know, people come up to me all the time and talk. If you're interested, come talk to me.
Yeah.
And let yourself be known. Hey, call our district office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, we are in great need
of good people.
Of good officers. And there's a lot of good guys out there, but it just takes that consistency. Hey, sticking with it, take the test, and then get on our.
Kind of get in the radar.
That's right.
Not in a bad way.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I got that. You know, Tucker doing the taxidermy here. He's been doing taxidermy for a long time, and really, when he got to the point where he was doing things for the public, before he started getting deep into it, he's a kid. But I mean, I say he's a kid. Man, he's 19 years old now, but he's a kid in my eyes, and he always will be, I guess. But he realized quickly, like, before I get deep into this, I need to make sure I'm doing what's right. That ends up being some certifications you need to get, and then some other things.
On federal, if you're messing with them birds.
So, you know, and you need to do it. And that's he did. And it was surprising to me because, man, this was his thing. I let him roll with it. But he looked into seeing what he needed to do. But there's a lot of things that people don't realize. And, you know, we see people, it's not a lot. But if somebody calls him about, hey, I got a deer I'm going to bring you, he straight up lets them know, I need your conservation number.
Yeah.
Before it even comes through the door, I'm making sure that conservation number.
Because there's no sense in it, man. Yeah. You can't chance somebody else's stuff on something stupid that don't cost. I mean, if you're going to have a hunting license, you've got the opportunity to punch it in.
Yeah.
You know? And even if the app, I guess, I don't know, do you ever hear anybody complain about the app not working now? Because a couple of years ago, I kind of realized I did have a problem. Sawyer, or maybe Tucker, I guess it was Tucker.
It was me.
Tucker shot a doe. I guess it was a doe, I think, it was during the youth season, man. And as we're trying to get it to work, it legitimately would not work. But I called the number that was there, and they helped me figure out what to do, you know?
Yeah.
But, that ain't the end of the world, have to call somebody, but it's hard to say now you using excuses why I couldn't get it done.
Yeah. There's always a way to get it done.
Yeah.
You just got to know.
Well, I'll start out by saying this. There was such a big kickback when we started going to that, you know, the game check system. We had systems in place, and they were highly ineffective.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the issues I see now are people that aren't necessarily great with a smartphone or great with the internet. Yeah. But that's fading quickly.
Yeah, man. You almost have to have some knowledge to be able to function.
Yeah. Our app now is so great. Our app is Outdoor Alabama app.
Yep.
You can download it on basically any phone. And it really has everything. Laws, regulations, seasons, bag limits. I mean, I use it constantly.
Right.
I mean, we've got a lot of seasons. We've got a lot of – I mean, you've got to keep up with stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so handy.
Yeah.
And that's where you game check your animal, and that's where you have your harvest record. All my license, you can purchase your license on that app.
Right.
Yeah.
And so instead of having to go to Walmart or still having to go to probate judge office or wherever, you know, license are sold, you can get it there on your phone. And so it's made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Having said all that, that number, y'all did exactly right. We have a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-272-GAME.
Right.
Now, technically, that's to report violations. However, that gets in touch with.
Look, I got a human, and I was explained, like, I don't want to be wrong when I take it to the processor, and she helped me out, you know.
Yeah. Hey, and I don't want to have to write a ticket.
Right.
You know, I would rather help somebody along the way to prevent that. But when you don't take any kind of initiative and you don't show that you know you care enough to even pick up the phone and call, we'll call and help. I'll go to, you know. There's people that's a lot of times if they'll give me their information, I'll record it for them and say, hey, this is your confirmation number.
So, yeah.
You know, just like Tucker said, taking the initiative to do your research and to at least know to ask somebody. That's the big thing.
And one thing that I've noticed since I've got into like taxidermy and talking to all these people, you know, people know now that they need to get their deer marked before they even load it up in the truck, you know, how that is, and then their turkeys. But there's also tags for bobcat and our
animal.
Yeah.
And that some people that just deer hunt that don't trap, you know.
Yeah.
They'll see that bobcat walking across there and they shoot it and they're like, I need to get it mounted. Well, first thing you need to do before yeah. you bring it to you, you know, you need to get it tagged. But that's just something that people don't, they need to read up on, you know, but it's just something that.
It's pretty easy
yeah.
to do, though.
Yeah, it's very easy.
It is, yeah. Our district office will help you a lot. Those are called CITES tag, and that's really that goes above state level, yeah. is my understanding. And, yeah, anytime, any mount you see, it's technically supposed to stay with it for the life of that animal.
Yeah,
a lot of,
yeah, it is. That's why that one, that bobcat yeah. over there, yeah. got that on his foot.
So, and that's good. But, like, I guess we're talking about the app, going through there to get the license. One thing that I think Sawyer was going to ask is kind of tied in with, maybe we start out with some of the questions he had for you. But if we don't cover it there, I'm going to kind of ask one or two, I think, in just a second, that kind of goes in with somebody getting their license.
Go with that one first, because I see his first one, and that's going to open up a can of worms.
So one of the things that I had realized with my kids during youth season, and as far as youth season, man, Tucker's wanted to hunt since he was old enough to walk 365 days a year if there was something that we could hunt. Sawyer, he'll go with me. He's waiting on the big buck, and gosh, I hope it happens.
He ain't shooting that little one. He's waiting on that big.
He will, and I'm proud of him, man, because I'll be honest, when Brad Bowen was a young guy, it's going. You know, we're going. Yeah. If Papa says it's go time, and Brad was going to shoot it and clean it and eat it, and it was going. But anyway, with the boys, I had kind of through the day. That was the day I realized this, the day that I called the lady about me not being able to get it on my app, because I thought it would be my deer and I just get, it goes with me. But when I called her, she asked what his conservation ID number was. And I told her, I didn't know what she meant. You know, he wasn't old enough to have a license. And she explained to me, you know, it's easy, get on there with the social security number, because you can have, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you can have a conservation ID associated with your social security number until you're old enough to get the license. And then that's your hunter ed number that goes with you from there on. Is that pretty?
So yeah, the conservation ID, once you get that conservation ID, it will be your number for life.
Okay.
And mine is a 6-digit number. I think they're still in the 6 digits. I'm not 100% sure.
I think when I get on the app, like for me right now, I have mine and Sawyer's until he gets his license, then he'll be taking care of his own, you know?
Yeah.
But and it's easy. Like I can flip back and forth between my name and his when we need to put one in for him if he kills something or me, either one. But so is that right? Anybody, if you're going on a youth hunt, go ahead and get the conservation ID number for your kid.
Yeah, if you're going to be, especially if you're going to be deer or turkey hunting, because those animals are the ones that have to be game checked. And no matter how old you are, you know, you're still responsible. I say you're the parent or guardian is still responsible. This is my suggestion, especially if you're a deer hunter.
Yep.
You can kill two birds with one stone, because most, and not everybody, but most people in Alabama are going to hunt over bait.
Yeah.
And here's another misconception.
Yeah.
There's no age exemption for having a baiting license.
We pay it every year, so he's got it.
All right. So even my kid, it got expensive this year when my kids are all getting into hunting.
And
I've got one that's 7, one that's 9, and one that's 11.
Yep.
All three of them went hunting, so I had to get purchase them a baiting license.
Right.
Whenever you purchase a baiting license for your kid, like you're going to need that social security number. That will automatically assign them
A CID.
Right. Okay. If you're not going to do that, say you're going turkey hunting for your kid. Then if somebody has never been in the system, they will need to get a HELP number.
That is
a hunter exempt license privilege.
Yep.
And that is, once you get that HELP number, it'll kind of, that will be your ticket in to get you that conservation ID for your kid.
Okay. So I got one question. Say that somebody hasn't took the hunter's education course and they're old enough. What's the law there? Like whenever they hunt, is it certain amount of feet, right? That they can't go.
Yeah. I don't know. But right off the top of my head.
I'll be taking Sawyer's question.
say that question again. I'm sorry.
So it's like the hunter's education.
With options, with like an observer. With
Okay. So yes.
I guess I kind of worded it.
So if you're going to hunt by yourself, no matter what age, I'm sorry, there is a license that you can purchase even without getting hunter education.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
It's a supervision only license.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So, yes, you would have to be within a certain amount of feet of that person. Yeah.
You can't be hunting 100 yards away by yourself with that. You have to have somebody that's...
You can't drop buddy off over there down the road and then come. Yeah. No, you got to be. And that's legit. That's... Because you know what? If they're out there, then they need to be.
It's got to be legal. Yeah.
Well, we need to know what they know what's going on too. Yeah. You know.
Now, once you turn 16, that is when you're liable to. You have to have that hunter education if you want to hunt on your
that's
own.
That's how we done it at school. We was able to take that.
And that is the best way. I wish more schools still offered it. Huffle does a good job here, but that's one way. And then we're going to jump into one of you had
hit him question. So. See what you got there. Yeah.
Well,
hunter education.
Yeah, what you.
The third one I got. Do you have to go to in person course to get your hunter education?
Short answer, no.
I think the best way to do it is in
it's in person.
Look, man, that's the best way to learn. Right.
My teacher back in the day, that we were there. I'll be honest with you, though. Back in the day, for me, we sighted in a gun on our practice field when I was in high school, which would have shut the world down today. It don't need to happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were able to do hunter education class in our ag class.
And really, it's fun. Like, whenever we do it, it was
and it's a break
fun.
From normal. And, Hubble is pretty good about that. We'll come some days and talk, and that's always a positive.
Yeah.
So you have that opportunity in school. We do offer an in-person class.
Yeah.
We have some people come in with a trailer that we do shooting sports too.
Okay.
Seen that. That looks pretty cool.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And so, to me, that is the best, either doing it in school or doing it in person.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have that time constraint. They can't meet the time, and they want to go hunting. So, we do offer it online.
Yeah.
You can take an online course, and I think there's a small fee for it, but it's not much. It takes a little while to do, and you're sitting in front of a computer. So
it does, but
we have that option.
Yeah, the in person. If anybody's looking into doing it, you need to find the in person course around you and just do it in person.
You suggest a certain age? Like, what would you say? We need to be 13 plus before we look into that.
10 is 10 the minimum of coming to one of our classes.
All right.
It gets kind of hard a lot of times when they get that young. We're kind of having to coach them, especially when it comes to the test.
Yes.
Now, it's not – I will say this. It's not difficult, but even I learn stuff sometimes. You get different people coming in with their expertise, and it's, a lot of things that you'll learn that you didn't know about. But 10's the minimum age there when we do classes.
That's understandable. That's what I was just wondering, if you sign your
– I think 12 or 13 is a good age. Yeah. Go ahead and let them get it and –
And they
got to sweat. A lot of us, and there's a lot of people still out there that they grew up hunting with their dads, and they know how to handle it. But there's a lot of people that hunt with their dads, and their dads ain't been teaching them right. So I've hunted with a lot of dads. It's kind of getting away.
There's a lot of people that want to hunt that don't have somebody to help them.
That's
so
right.
That's why, even some kids that went to school with Tucker, they wanted to hunt, man. And I really wanted them to come and must take them hunting, but I made those kids get their license by the time, if they were 16, I made them get their license before they came. But you know what? If they had them, I wanted them to come so we could let them hunt and they could go.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know nobody else. Yeah. But I dang sure wasn't going to get in trouble for having them over here either, But most of them ended up going through with it and getting it done. Saul, you got another question?
I've got two more.
Hit it, man. This is Sawyer's cut.
He said the first one probably opened up something we're not talking about.
Let's get in it.
We go with it.
So I've heard some misconceptions about animals in my time, like granddaddy long legs, like they're poison. They're like poisonous enough to kill you, but they can't bite you because their fangs are so short or something.
Yeah.
So I was curious, so what are some common misconceptions that people have about Alabama wildlife?
You can't pet the cottonmouth.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll hit one. You mentioned spiders. I'll say this. I'm out in the woods all the time.
Right.
Snakes are not out to get us. If you will leave them alone, 95% of the people that get bit are messing with snakes.
Okay.
So there's one.
All right.
But that's not the one that came to mind when you immediately said this, because this is one question I get, and I'm not going to open up a can of worms, but we got to hit it.
All right, come on.
And it's about long-tailed cats.
Yeah.
Everybody, I've seen... My uncle seen a Black Panther.
Everybody,
I guarantee you, everybody's got a story. And here's what I'm going to say. When I was growing up, I felt the same. I felt there had to be something. There's too many stories.
Right.
There are so many game cameras in the woods these days.
Yep.
And you can go across this country, anywhere that there's wildlife.
Yeah.
If there's wildlife in that area, they are coming to these feed sources. That's a great ambush point. So all I'm going to say is if there was mountain lions in Alabama, we would have a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's a possibility that one day we may. I mean, they're in Tennessee, and I think we've got some Florida Panthers down there. So I'm not saying that it's an impossibility.
Right.
What I'm saying is if we would be getting pictures of them.
Yeah.
So the most common misconception that there are animals around here that we don't know about that are too slick. No. Let me give you a for instance.
Bigfoot still having
fun. Let me give you a for instance. We had a bear sighting in Fayette this year.
Yeah. Well, look, man. April Fool's Day, my buddy, he was the person who had the picture. Really? He seen it on April Fool's. And I said, any other day than today, but I believe this.
So let me tell you about this bear. And I'm not saying that this is the exact bear.
This is the third podcast.
That bear came through Fayette. That bear came through Fayette. And everybody up that area of where it went north had pictures of this bear. And I got a call. And it, I mean, you could literally follow this animal all the way through Fayette.
Yeah.
And there's one, there's literally, there, it's possible that there was two, but I think it was the same bear. Yeah. And it came into Fayette and then came up the North River a good ways. And there was one that got hit coincidentally in the same direction where that bear was hit.
I'm going to say this, man. That bear was healthy when he started walking.
He was, yeah.
Good Lord.
He was real healthy.
I had pictures of him in Barrie.
Mm-hmm. And we came on up north.
That's right.
Yeah. It was through Eldridge. Then you're into Marion County. And then he went west a little ways and he lost his life about 3 weeks ago, I guess. And I would think probably the same one. But, you know, it's not like being in Cage Cove. You don't expect to see 15. But this is the third time it's been talked about in four episodes of a bear. But, hey, it's Alabama. It's not a bear.
Yeah.
So I get it. You know?
But, that just, to me, that goes to perfectly prove that point of, hey, we had one animal in a county, and we got so many cameras, so many pictures of it along the way. So if there was more, we pretty much know what we got.
Yeah.
Now you get around in some areas, and you know we have long-tailed weasels in Fayette.
Yeah,
yes.
And I've never seen one. I had one brought to me.
So
I mean, that's an animal that you never see. Mink. We've got a pretty good population, not great. We've got pretty, and people never see them. That's because they're not in that area.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we have some...
I don't know that we have turkeys in Fayette County. I don't know that there's any turkeys where we live, but anyway.
That's right.
People say they are, but we never hear them. Let's see, sorry, you got another one, or is that it?
I got one.
One more, all right?
Like, if a person below 16 wants to get into fishing, hunting, or boating, what license or certification should they look into? Like, I think we've already went through that some.
Most part.
Let's start with fishing. Y'all have an opportunity now, especially I'll kind of point this towards high schoolers, people still in school. Man, if we would have had fishing teams when I was in school,
no doubt,
and people getting scholarships for that, man, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And so if I was a school age kid, that would be the way I would look to it, because you've got mentors there.
Right.
You know, say you don't have somebody to take you, well, there's a perfect opportunity. So if I wanted to get in fishing, I would start with that. Now, another thing I would say, we are blessed in our area, Alabama especially, right. I think, you know, with the amount of opportunity we had for fishing and hunting. So if you want to do it, you don't have to ask too far.
Right.
You know, go down the road, find a creek. I mean, you can fish anywhere. That's the way I grew up and went with every chance I could. So there's opportunities there. It's just, if you don't have somebody to take you, that would be one route. We have fishing events that we will take and you know, certain times of the year that we will coach people on. Just give them the basics.
Right.
You know, and so there's that opportunity. But boating, you know, it's going to be hard. The boating test is not that difficult, but you know, you got to study just like your driver's license test. Right. And you can take it. We were talking about this.
It's pretty time consuming too. You got to do it to be able to.
Yeah, there's a lot. You got to know what buoys mean what. And it's not. And we were talking about it before the podcast even started that just it's crazy how young that you can be and still operate a vessel here in Alabama.
Yeah.
I think
that's
12.
Yeah, 12 years old.
These boats cost way too much for my 12 year old to be driving around.
And it's not that. I don't think it's that safe.
Well, you did when you was 12, but
I know, but now I don't think it's that safe.
I've drove a jet ski. That's about it.
You've got to get a boater certificate, and from 12 to I think 14, you have to be supervised. Once you turn 14, then you can basically boat on your own as long as you have that boater.
Sawyer don't need to know that. So he'll be 15 in September. So he don't forget that little portion, Sawyer. We didn't go over that. Okay.
Yeah.
You good with that?
Well, no.
Forget that. You gonna remember it? All right. Well, we'll see how that goes.
On hunting, if somebody wanted to get into hunting, you know, we are blessed in our area, too. If you've got a group of friends, somebody in that group.
Yes.
Another thing, in Fayette, most of the property in Fayette is divided. Just the way our history of our town and our county has been, it's gotten to divide it into a lot of small parcels.
Right.
And so if you will get an app, those OnX is the app that I love, but there's so many apps, and you will look on that. I have gotten permission on so many properties simply by looking at that app and going and talking to these people. So if somebody wanted to get into hunting, man, if you can just put in a little bit of legwork and have pretty decent places to hunt.
Yeah. And we're blessed where we live at. Most of the people, you basically know everybody. That's right. And you know that guy that, you know, he hunts it and he lets his family hunt it. That's their family land. But then you got that one person that, you know, you can ask and you feel good about.
That's right. And a lot of people, you know, for instance, we have a high population of deer in our county.
No doubt. Yeah.
And there's people all the time I hear, you know, a kid that's, you know, wants to go kill a doe or something. And so,
we talked about it a couple shows back, man. This last year, we had a lot of the land that we hunt and lease was clear cut. I told Tuck, I said, man, if you know anybody that wants the deer, if you got people willing to get it and they need it, let's wax our does this year and maybe we'll get a big buck next year because we're going to be hunting in lanes in 3 years.
Yeah.
And we've got the meat now. So, and we had some kids that came over and shot some deer.
Yeah, it was fun watching them because that was like their first deer to kill. And it was like the first time I had ever been with somebody that happened. Yeah. That was very, very
cool.
And
if you want to shoot the 6 point, shoot the deer.
We ain't picky. You know, this your first deer, I'm not going to hold you back.
No,
man. Yeah.
But like I said, Tucker and Sawyer, being that he hasn't really killed many deer, he's got so much more control than I had when I was their age, man. But it's got better, and I'm proud of them for that. But Sawyer, I just wish we could get him a good buck this year, and it's going to happen eventually.
Yep.
But he's had some good control, and he's wanting a good buck instead of wasting it on the little one or a doe. So we're going to get him one.
One more little tidbit I will add to that. If you've got someone that you're wanting to get into hunting, especially a kid, and I've done this with my kids, and man, it's almost like cheating.
Yeah, right.
But if you will get them a bog pod or some type of tripod, lock that gun in. And a lot of problems that kids have is seeing through a scope.
Right.
They make a $30 feature that you can fit almost any phone. And you've got to play with it a little bit, but it is sitting there, and it's just you're looking through your phone at that scope. And, you know, I want my kids to progress, but if that gets them into hunting, and if you're wanting to get into hunting, and that's how, it's awesome.
Even your 45-year-old buddy might need a stand because he can't.
He can't have nothing.
Well, and my kids, and not only that, I've gotten to video every one of their first kills. Right. And, you know, it's just a cool little simple, but that bog pod makes a huge difference. The little thing that helps you see through a scope.
We're going to fix you up with those videos in a little while.
We're going to get you. We got something for you.
Yeah, that's going to be something good. I guess when we first started, I talked about how I was glad that they let you come on here, man. Your superiors, I guess we'd say, and they kind of trusted us to not to run you down the road of we're going to shoot a Black Panther and all that stuff. So because I want it to be to where we can do this every now and then, like I said, and people maybe can send us some questions that would be – worthwhile. I guess there probably are. Let's say there's no dumb question. There probably is some dumb questions. And we won't go down that route whenever that comes. But also, I want it to be something where we can be taught some things. Like me and Tucker say, man, we didn't start this to try to say we're the best hunters or we're good by any means. This is me. I'm nothing special at all. I got lucky and killed a couple good deer. There's just a lot of deer around here, so we get to see a lot of deer. Yeah. I'm obviously not a good hunter. I would have some turkeys trying to get them mounted right now. But with you being on here, what would you say for us to have the opportunity right now? This is summertime. We're not hunting anything right now. We're hunting what we want to hunt later.
Yeah.
A lot of people fish. People float the river down here a lot. We like to go wade the river.
We've not done that in a long time.
We sat for a long time a couple of weeks ago watching this big bass stare at her bait because she's not coming off her bed. And it was bigger than what I expected to see down there, you know. But so there's opportunities for people to be fishing right now. But what would you tell the guys? Because there's some good places here where we're at. There's good places all across Alabama. But just for us local, there's some things that you can do to cover your butt that where when you go float, you're not in trouble, right? I mean, you got a kayak, you need a flotation device, and you can go.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, you could get me on stuff to do in Fed, and I could talk you know,
or just anywhere. Really.
Yeah. So if I get wound up, y'all gonna have to reel me back. Yeah, we'll talk about we'll try to stick to the legality. Legality, really, there's not much to worry about.
Yeah.
The main thing is if you are going to be putting in or taking out somewhere, you got to have permission.
Yeah, permission.
Yeah, every land and fed is posted, whether it's posted or not.
Right.
A lot of people just think, oh, it's as long as you're in the river, you're fine. But once you step foot outside of that,
right.
All right. Boating, you got to have a life jacket for everybody on board.
Yeah.
Even if you're on a kayak.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds silly, even if it's knee deep.
Yeah.
If it's public water in Fayette, or if it's public water in Alabama,
yeah.
You have to have a life jacket for everybody on board.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing that gets some people, and we do a lot of education on this, but
yeah.
You know, there's kayaks now that have trolling motors.
Yeah.
A lot of people will take just a John boat, put a trolling motor.
Right.
Okay. If you put any kind of motor, no matter what size vessel it is, it's got to be registered.
Okay.
All right. Now, the registration, I think most boats are like 20 or 25 bucks. It's not that much.
I'm too cheap. So I have to go get my tags in February, right?
Yeah.
I'm always too cheap to get that Sea-Doo tag. And then I go down there.
Yeah,
I go
we went like 30 weeks miles. Ago.
Yeah.
I go 30 miles down the road to remember that it was just 25 bucks. And I'm like, I should just do this February every year.
Yeah. You know?
But that gets us. But it's 25 bucks. Yeah, we done it. What, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And so if you don't have, if it's never been registered,
right.
I'll kind of give you a little bit of help and guidance there. If it's never been registered, unless it's an old John boat,
right.
Most of the boats in Alabama have a whole ID number somewhere printed. Even kayaks, when you get a kayak, somewhere on there, it's usually got a little. And so you'll take that to the courthouse and say, this is a 12-foot Pelican Bay or whatever kayak, and I need to get it registered.
Right.
If it's ever been registered before. Most of the time, you know, a lot of times they'll have an old AL-1457C.
Yeah.
You can take that to the courthouse and say, this boat has been previously registered. I need to register it.
Yeah.
If you don't have anything,
you
will have to call the ALEA division. That's the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. Marine Police are the ones that take care of that. They will actually come to your house. You have to pay a fee, but they will
measure it out.
Assign you a number for that, and then you can go.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Any boat, if you've got an old 1960 John boat that doesn't have a motor on it, you can do it.
We had a bow fishing boat several years ago, and I'll be honest with you, when I bought it, I struggled to find the identification on it, but it ended up being, I found it on the, I had the registration, but like getting on the boat, it was an act of Congress to try to find it on that transom back there, but we got it, but it was a... I was nervous about that because I thought I was going to go through the steps you're talking about. And I finally got the picture and got what I needed, and we got it registered, and we had a lot of fun on it.
Man. Yeah. So life jacket, make sure if you're going to have a motor registered, make sure you've got permission, whether you're going to take it, you know, putting in. If you're putting in right off a public right away, you know, that's fine. But if you're taking out somewhere, if you need to make sure you get your permission.
Yeah.
Fishing license. We talked about that app earlier.
Right.
That's the great thing about it. I don't care. You know, a lot of people, some people, older generation, don't want to carry their phones. They don't. But younger generation, we're going to put it in one of those little things.
Yeah.
You're going to have your phone. So go ahead and download that license to your phone.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people say.
And if you don't want to lose your phone, then carry the little card. You know,
that's right. That's
it. You do that. Beautiful, man.
And, you know, a lot of people, they'll, you know, well, I don't get where I was going with that. But, yeah, having the phone, that's the easiest way. Oh, that's what I was going to say. A lot of people want us to, hey, can't you just look it up for us? Well, I can.
Yeah.
But where you're going fishing a lot of times.
I want to know who you are.
You're not going to have good service.
Yeah, right? That is true. Not, yeah,
so
service.
For me to look it up, sometimes I'm not able to. So.
Right. I guess if we're going to keep on going with some educational stuff, while we got some downtime during the summer as far as hunting, the next season that I guess we're going to get involved in.
Dove season.
That's it. Doves. Get the dove season going. So
I love dove hunting.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kickstarter of hunting season.
We know it's about to go down. We should be, if you're a dove hunting, you should be buying some seed.
Yeah.
And if the Lord will give us some rain, you need to be planting it for some winter green fields at that time, you know. But what is something maybe that would be informative for people that are looking to get a dove field going? I mean, I know there's processes of planting, mowing, burning. You can do things to get the birds there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that, I don't think.
No. We talked about some baiting issues. One of the things that drive me absolutely crazy.
Right.
is people baiting for doves.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama, we are blessed. So people don't realize this, but we are so fortunate in our area. Our laws for hunting and fishing and creel limits and bag limits for what we can kill. It's
pretty good.
We can kill two deer a day all year. I mean, and our season is so incredibly long.
Yeah.
I say all that to say this. There is so much that you can do legally.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and you know, break the law to
just
have
weave through there and try to get lucky.
Just a couple of resources to make note. Just so people, because I want people, if you're going to do it, if you're going to plan a field, especially if you're going to have a pretty good size hunt, you need to go and read it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cover some things, but the federal regulations are under 50 CFR. All right. For Alabama, the guide to planting fields falls under the Alabama Cooperative Extension Services.
Okay.
They are the ones that dictate how much wheat when you can plant wheat, you know, all those things are dictated by the Alabama Cooperative Extension.
Okay.
And you can find that under ACES, A-C-E-S, I think it's .gov.
Okay.
And then on there, on the search bar, you can just put dove management. We've had the same, it's basically the same planting guideline that it has been the past, I don't know, 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Okay.
But that is super informative. That is a great resource there at the Alabama Cooperative Extension. We have a local office here right behind Walmart.
Right.
Most counties do. You could find that. That would be a great resource. Now, simple answer is you can plant up to 200 pounds of wheat per acre. Mm-hmm. All right. That is a lot.
That's a good bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's really no need. There's so much that you can do. 200 pounds of wheat per acre, and in all of things, people, what they'll do is they think they have to turn it under. Well, no, if you've got a prepared seed bed,
right.
It can be on top of the ground, but it's got to be a prepared seed bed. You can't go throw it on a gravel road.
Right.
You don't have to, if I've got a 5-acre field, I don't have to plant all 5 acres.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the keys and one of the misconceptions is people think, well, you can't do it like I need to. No, you can plant a strip of wheat here.
Right.
Next week, come back and plant a strip here. If it rains, come back the next. You know, you can keep fresh seed out if you've got a big enough area.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I think the perfect dove field is probably 3 to 10 acres.
Right.
But y'all know as well as I do, there are some places it could be 1/2 acre, and if a dove likes to be there,
he's going
to
be
there. Hey, there's some fields around here that the smallest field, it kill, like the people that hunt that, they kill 10 times. They can go every week during dove season and kill as many as that guy that's got that big.
It drives me crazy.
I know this might sound crazy, but like their flyaway, like what they want to be back there. Maybe not necessarily that bird, but for some reason they want to be there like a deer.
Yes, got what they want. Yes.
So, you know, like throughout the years, we have a couple times done some good. I say good, man. When I say good, I mean small scale for us is good. But they, plant some strips. When it gets mature, man, we go mow that strip, and maybe the next week we'll burn that strip, and then the next week we're planting it. You know, and we keep moving it over, and it's been good. You know, it may not be to where we're packing out 1,000, but we also don't need but 15, but or 12, whatever it's going to be. But we're going to probably take me and Tucker just told him we're probably going to take about 8 home between two of us, a sore shoulder.
Yeah,
and my buddies know that. You know, Tucker has a dog. He wants to go get these birds. He has to practice a lot more than he gets to retrieve.
Yeah, his heart. He's around a lot.
Bless his heart.
One thing about around here, too, is we hunt our own birds.
Right.
We're not hunting birds that have migrated.
Right.
And so one other tip I would be, if you're wanting a dove hunt in August, September, start doing stuff now.
Yeah.
Hey, nobody, you know, you can't hunt over bait, but that doesn't mean you can't keep feed out all summer and keep birds around.
Right.
That just has to be gone 10 days prior to you hunting.
Yeah.
Every bit of it, okay?
Yeah.
But just like we have a field there that we hunt every year, me and my dad, we love dove hunting. It's kind of a tradition, you know.
That's what it is around here.
Yeah. But start now. I mean, it's summertime. What else you've got to do?
That's it.
They love bare ground. You know, they love little gravel. They love all that. They got to have the area. Now, if I'm going to take it a step further, and this isn't some big, hard step, but I'm going to plant something now. You were talking about burning. There is so much. Brown top millet is anybody
that's
can
like
grow.
Brown top millet will grow on top of a rock.
That's right. Yeah. Now, sunflowers, Milo.
I will tell you, man.
Now,
sunflowers really cut my legs off.
Sunflowers are tough, especially in our area with as many deer as we have. Yes. We fight it.
We just can't get them to grow. They look like dandelions.
Let me tell you what, we have had to put a 4-acre fence around our dove field. Just because we have an electric fence around our sunflowers. But having said all that, once you grow something, you can manipulate it virtually any way you want to manipulate it for doves. You can't do it for waterfowl. So don't think that carries over to another migratory. But for doves, you can mow it, disc it, burn it, chop it, you know. I've seen people that carry out like brush cutters for corn, and they'll run corn through a brush. That way it breaks it up. I mean, if you will just not, if you will just take just a little bit of effort, you can take your dove hunting to the next level and not have to do anything sketchy, anything in the gray area, and have just great, great hunts.
And it's so fun once you get it going.
All right. Well, that, that helps because this is the time when this is, when this comes out, this is the time. It's really, by the time this comes out, you should already have things planted 2 months ago. If you're doing that, you know, but there's ways about having a good hunt without, without having to worry.
And if really, you got if your you plug want, in. And really, if you want to plant a field around here, like right now, when this is up, there's going to be that buddy of yours that you can go hunt his field probably and then invite him to come on yours, you know?
And another thing, if you don't have any land, it's like we talked about Onyx. Go to your local farmers. If you're willing to go talk to people, that's the thing we have a hard time doing is communicate nowadays. But if you're willing to go talk, hey, say, hey, when you pick your crop, could I come out here and go? You know, just simple things like that.
And pick your stuff up.
Pick their property.
Pick the stuff up and don't make trash.
And that'll go a long way.
It will.
It just gets a bad look on everybody.
Well, we've been hunting. 2 years ago, we hunted down here, and I remember going back, man, and I picked up a lot of shells that, that I realized people had just left, and whatever. Maybe we should have said something there, gave everybody a bag. But it, we ended up having a good hunt, but it wasn't anything spectacular. Like I say, maybe 8 birds for us, but it was fun. So either way, what now, I guess another thing that we've done, we've quizzed you for a long time now. You maybe give out.
No, you're good.
Hey, is there anything that you want us to know that we haven't asked yet? And then we're going to kind of get to we told you before you came on here, we like to have a good core memory from somebody's hunt. And I think you got one of them, but is there anything else that we kind of skipped that maybe you want to go over today? Because I want, we're going to do this again. I want this to be something we do periodically and give people opportunity to ask questions. But is there anything else we need to know today?
I got one thing. Go ahead. There's a, whenever you buy your, for duck hunters, we haven't really said anything about that.
Y'all gonna have to have me back because I've got a lot.
Dove season right now.
I know, but I mean, you're gonna have teal season come in before long, you know. So like, people need to know that they, and most people do, but if they're just now getting into it, you got to have that federal stamp. Then you got to have that state stamp. And there's also a thing called the HIP permit.
I'm glad you mentioned that because
it
that
don't cost anything.
Doesn't cost
but
anything.
But you have to have it,
and that carries over for dove. Any kind of migratory bird you hunt. You've got to have a what's called a harvest information program. Okay, it's HIP, HIP. It is a free survey, and a lot of times what we hear is, I went to Walmart and they didn't give it to me. Well, that's they don't know. That's remind me to say something about that. But, you know, when you go somewhere, they don't know you. That's something you've got to ask for. So anytime you hunt migratory birds, whether it's duck or dove, you've got to have that. All it is it's that simple survey. Hey, do you plan to hunt ducks this year, or do you plan to hunt migratory birds? How many did you kill last year? You know, what species? So simple permit. It's free. We just have to have it.
Some people don't like doing surveys like that, but the more I've listened to several podcasts and I thought back in the day, I was like, that's weird. They want to know how many doves or ducks or whatever. But like, if you like to hunt, you probably need to share that information so you can keep doing that years to come, because that stuff probably, it probably does play a role in the, of what we're keeping up with, who's killing what, where and how many. And that way we can keep them.
Yeah, I think like we talked about, we basically shoot our own doves, but you know, it's good to know the progression of, hey, do we have more birds? I think we're kind of on a little bit of a downward trend for our dove as far as numbers. It's not terrible. But yeah, I mean, that's something you need to know.
All right. So we'll quit quizzing you.
All right.
We're done.
We'll get after the ducks.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get through doves. And then we'll come back on ducks.
Yeah, we'll come back on ducks.
Well, we may hit deer, and then we'll come back on ducks. All right. So what you got? Tell us a good memory. I know if you're in, if you're a game warden,
you must like
hunting in the outdoors, and you must care about it. So what you got there?
I've got to hit one more topic because I know I'm going to get 1,000 calls. This is the calls we get. If you see an injured buzzard, hawk, deer, leave it alone. unless it's in the city. You know, we get so many people, and they pick them up, and they take them home, and then there's nothing to do with them. And they call us. Well, we get such a high volume of those calls, we cannot go to them.
You're not raising all those things, are you?
Man, when I first got started, when I first became a game warden, I wanted to go out and I wanted to save every animal. And I would take an owl from Marengo. I started in Marengo County near in Demopolis.
Yeah.
And I would drive all the way to Auburn. And I finally, they were like, Kurt, you got to stop. You got to stop. Like, we don't have the time or energy or resources for you to be carrying every.
And people don't realize either. You're limited on your time. And I understood that through Ernie. So there's things there too. But.
And I think we hurt a lot of people's feelings. And it's not that we're cold hearted, but we see it from a different perspective. And hey, nature's going to be nature.
Right.
You know, nature's tough sometimes, and that's hard for people to see, and it's hard for people to witness. But a lot of times, those animals are so much worse off if you kind of bring them to your house and you're trying to rehab them yourself or do things.
Right.
We have a list of wildlife rehabbers in our state. We don't have many of them.
Yeah. Right.
But if we get something that's rare enough or it's in a situation that permits, which is very rare.
Like if we find that bear.
We might try to get him to a rehabber. Yeah. But,
okay. All right.
And like, we don't have any bear rehabbers, unfortunately, in the state. But, you know, if the situation calls, but that situation is so rare. If you see an animal, if it's injured, if you see a fawn, that fawn is... Nine times out of ten, that mama has not left.
That's what I was about to say. That mama is watching you walk up.
Y'all would not believe how many fawns I see that are right up next to a house.
Yeah.
Well, they know it's safe, man.
Why? That's exactly right. Why would a mama leave a fawn right next to a house?
Yeah.
Because that coyote ain't going to come up.
They probably don't have a yard.
That may be the safest. That's right. Yeah. Maybe the safest place for it. So just leave them alone. Let nature be nature. I had to hit on that before. Yeah. But.
What's that memory you got?
Memory, okay. All right. I did an article on this when I was in Marengo County, and I tried to find it because it was put a little more eloquently than I'll probably be able to do now.
I understand.
But, I understand y'all turkey hunt some.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm no good.
Have you ever been on a really good turkey hunt?
I want to say that last one me and Tucker was on together up there was a good one.
I hunted that turkey from Tuesday to Saturday.
Yeah.
And that was every day.
But tell us why it's not dead, number one, though.
Number one, it's not dead because I missed it.
No.
But
I was not about to
go on that guy's land shoot that turkey.
I mean, he could have killed the turkey on the first day. There's no doubt in my mind.
But I asked him, the guy that hunts it that we knew of, I thought that that was his family's land. So I thought that that was his land and he would be able to give me permission for it.
Yeah.
Turns out he had permission from the landowner. He wouldn't play with him. So he was like, I can probably get you permission to it. And I'm like, I don't even want to mess. Like, I don't want to get it.
Don't even go, you know. Yeah. So it's all right. But now that was, we turkey hunt some.
Yeah. Yeah. And you fill in the blank. There could be other things. It could be a good morning on the lake. But there's some mornings and there's some experiences that just stick with you throughout your life. And really mold you into who you are and what you're passionate about.
Right.
And for me, turkey hunting, man, it just gets in you. And again, my wife's going to say, yeah, right, turkey hunting, you do everything. I mean, I get passionate about everything, as far as wildlife and outdoors.
I understand that.
So it's hard for me to, you know, keep my head on straight sometimes. But the memory that stands out to me the most, and we talked a little bit about taking kids hunting.
Yeah.
Yep. And how memorable that can be. Man, this memory of mine happened when I was roughly about 13 years old, and it was somebody that wasn't even a family member, somebody that went to church with me.
Yeah.
And he knew I loved turkey hunting, but I, you know, hadn't really figured things out. And we had some family land, we had some birds, and so he started taking me. And man, we hunted. First year, we didn't kill a thing. We had some good hunts.
But yeah.
Anyway, we were starting to kind of figure things out and how things go around where we live. And my grandfather's farm, and it just so happens this morning, the most memorable morning I think I've ever had in the woods, we got there very early, and we went down into a hardwood bottom that had a ridge. We knew the turkeys were kind of roosting in this area.
Right. Pitch off that ridge.
Yeah, that's right, and we were kind of in the bottoms below it.
Yeah.
We did not know exactly where the turkeys are.
Right.
So, I mean, there was so much luck involved in this hunt, but just sometimes it's that's the way it is. And we get in there really early for daylight, and we just so happened to be in amongst the biggest mess of turkeys.
And when that happened,
it was just that, like, it was crazy. The perfect morning you can imagine. And the title of my article was called "Waking with the Woods," because if y'all and okay. I love being in the woods in the morning, because yep. it's like when everything starts to wake up. I mean, sometimes the
Tucker
noise
misses that most times. No, what? Tucker misses that. Yeah. Most
listen, well, during turkey season, you hear all these people talk about bobwhite quail. People don't hear bobwhite quail yeah. in the morning when you're turkey hunting.
Yeah,
man, that's crazy. Sometimes yeah. if you get in a good spot,
I mean, you get in a spot, especially with songbirds and everything, it can yeah. be deafening sometimes just how loud everything is right. when it's waking up. But it's beautiful. I mean, and yeah. you know, it's just an awesome. And we had one of those mornings where it was just like everything woke up at the same time. And these turkeys are roosted right above us on a hill. And there's two or three gobblers in a tree. Now, the unique thing about this morning is not only were there two or three gobblers, but there was an owl's nest, okay. a barred owl's nest in this tree. And there were two or three owls.
Wow. Now,
and have y'all ever heard owls when they get cranked up? Yeah, and they're, well, okay. Well, these owls got cranked up and they were hooting and carrying on back and forth. And the turkey started gobbling.
You didn't have to strike them.
And then we didn't do it. And it was, I mean, they were just blowing your yeah. hair back, you know. Back when I had hair. That
I understand. Hair. We're not going there.
Yeah. So, I mean, just one of those mornings. And I don't know that I've heard it to this day, but they were gobbling so much. They were triple gobbling, yeah. and they would lose their breath. Like, we were so close that you could hear them. They would gobble, you know, and they would just fade out yeah. because they just were so
can't
fired
do it
up.
Anymore.
Yeah. And so, anyway, long story short, we had a hen fly down in between us. We were sitting on separate trees, and one of the things... I'll talk about this guy I just met. His name was Donald Gilpin. He went to church when he carried a single shot 10 gauge.
Okay.
And you talking about, I mean, this thing was, you know, like 3 foot. Yeah, it was huge.
Like from back in the day.
He used it as a crutch sometimes, you know, getting yeah. up. But anyway, he had that, and I had a gun that I had purchased. I had worked really hard.
Yeah.
You know, and I went to Walmart and got me a 12 gauge pump Winchester. I was so proud of it, man. But anyway. I had that gun, and the turkeys flew down, and the hen flew in between us, and I'm just, you know, I can't believe she can't see me shaking, yeah. you know, but the birds fly down. Anyway, the birds end up working off, and I realize they're so close to him still that he can't move, and so I had a Primo's Power Crystal. I don't even know if they still make these calls, and I was so shaky, you know, it probably sounded terrible, but I called just a little bit, and the birds came back, and he actually got to kill it. It was the first bird I ever got to see die. I didn't even kill the bird, and it's the most memorable hunt I've ever had just because of how special it was and you know, getting to share that with somebody. And that's just kind of my intro into just – I had always been passionate. I mean, we grew up – you know, my dad, he took me deer hunting and stuff, but he didn't really turkey hunt, and he fished a lot. We fished nonstop, okay? But, you know, something about turkey hunting, if it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And, man, after that morning, you know, it was just something. Yeah. And I'll show you a picture. You probably won't be able to see, but this is me and – this is Donald Gilpin, and you could see. And
we'll get us a good picture to put on Facebook and Instagram when we get live here.
You know, and one thing, you know, this is my favorite memory. But one thing I wanted to mention, and I don't want to get into too much, but what do you notice about that picture when you're looking at it?
Not fully camoed up.
That's exactly. Hey, I have looked at this picture. It sits on my wall my entire life. And until today when I was thinking about coming and bringing it.
That's what I killed that turkey.
I said, I was 13 years old. He's got a faded camouflage shirt that looks almost white.
Right.
And I've got a corduroy tan with just a camo sleeve.
Yep.
You know,
shooting
I think
shirt really.
That's right. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in what others are doing and what we think we've got to have.
I get it.
I'm just as guilty, so I'm not preaching here. But, you know, sometimes we overcomplicate things.
100%.
And I sit here and look at this picture when I was 13 years old, the most memorable hunt I ever had, and I probably got Walmart pants and a tan shirt, you know. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't – we get in our head of what we see on TV and what we think we've got to do, and sometimes it's not that difficult.
Nope,
it just takes getting out and just loving the outdoors and going and doing it.
If you're just outside and you enjoy it, then you're having fun.
Yeah.
You may be burning up right now if you're outside, but you can have a good time and not have to blow $1 million. And that's part of what we want to try to make sure people understand, because we're far from that. But I told Tucker before we come down here today, that picture, we're going to get a picture. We'll take a picture of that and get it posted up to where people can see that, because that means a lot. And you talk about the shirt, they'll be able to see it.
Yeah, I mean
This right here, I told Tucker, the last podcast or two back.
Yeah, I don't really.
We were talking about these hats, and it probably looks weird on the picture right there. I don't know if you've ever walked up and checked anybody that wore one of these orange Jones hats.
I'm not sure I have.
Well, if you come up here during hunting season, you're going to see us win one because this was what my granddad wore. It's been upstairs. I've got his dog leashes, his collars, and his cap. So this was his hat that he wore every day when we rabbit hunted. And he lived close to Lawrence Mill down there. And there's a lot of the guys now. We was telling a story the other day about the first deer I ever killed. And I was, after we got finished, I started thinking, I was like, I'm the only person that's alive now that was in any of those photos the day that I killed that first deer. Those guys are gone. But that hat is what he wore every day. And I don't know how old this is. I'm 44 years old. So I'm going to say easy 50. It's just kind of crazy.
It's older than that.
I mean, it's got to be. Yeah. But, dude, that's what he wore every day. If it was cold, he flipped that down over there. So I told Tugger, I said, this is going to stay down here in the shop from now on and be in the backdrop, man. Because if he was alive today, he would be in the shop.
Oh, he would be in here talking right now.
Well, you wouldn't get much.
You wouldn't get much out of him. He would be here.
He would say, Hoss. Or he would just be sitting there with his skull and spitting over him and whittling cedar, man. And he made nothing but toothpicks because he never made anything.
Just something to do.
But I think both of my kids ended up being able to do that with him before he passed away. But like that right there, that kind of like what your picture, that means a lot to you. This right here, dude, I've had it upstairs since before he passed away. But now it will not go anywhere. I say anywhere. I want it to be here so we can always remember, like, he can keep us grounded a little bit, but that dude would be in here loving this right here.
Yeah.
He would be telling Tugger how we need to start mounting rabbits.
Yeah.
Because he was the rabbit hunter.
He loved rabbit hunting. Okay, so Kurt, so those magazines that you've got over there, or one of them, I've seen them everywhere. You can find them anywhere and just pick them up. It's got a bunch of good stuff in it.
Yeah, so this is our Hunting and Fishing Digest. We put out a new publication every year. This one's actually getting towards the tail end. Usually around July and August is when we pick up our new ones, and then we'll distribute them out. So, yeah, anywhere, we try to take them, most gas stations, anywhere that we know a lot of people, co-ops, Walmarts.
Yeah.
So you can pick those up, and they're going to have most everything that you need to know.
They're pretty informative.
They are pretty informative, yeah, especially seasons, bag limits. And another resource for people that are more technologically savvy, not that it takes much, but OutdoorAlabama.com. We talked about our app, but if you want to know everything there is to know about laws and regulations, OutdoorAlabama.com is your resource. Okay. It kind of goes and expounds on this.
Yeah.
Just make sure, at least make an effort. And there's numbers in here. If you don't understand, hey, some of this stuff, I have to call somebody sometimes, you know, just to make sure that, hey, am I reading this right?
Yeah.
There's numbers in here. There's resources to call. If you don't understand something, we're answering questions nonstop. So, you know, that's a good resource for everybody to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more thing I wanted to hit on before we close. All right. This is more, I feel like it pertains more to deer hunters, but it's really not. It's really all around. Everybody enjoys outdoor recreation differently.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know even me, I have to fight it sometimes. We get in our head of what we think is supposed to be, especially deer hunters. We think you should not be shooting a young deer, you should let it reach its full potential. You know what? I believe that. You know, I manage my properties, and I want to do that. I want to get the biggest buck. But you know what? Some people just want to go out and enjoy. They don't have much time off of work, they don't have much time with their kids. And then, you know, you get people that post a picture that they're excited about, and then they get bashed online or get bashed. You shouldn't have shot that.
Negative feedback.
You
know? Like
yes, that's right. And, you know, I'd never realized how bad it was until I got in this profession. Yeah. So I just wanted to hit on the fact, be excited for people. Yeah. I know it's frustrating sometimes. You've been watching that young deer. it kills me sometimes. And I have to take a step back because sometimes I get to where I'm not even enjoying hunting anymore because I'm so worried.
Just worried about your neighbor.
That's right. Yeah. I'm worried about my neighbor. Or I'm worried because I'm not seeing nothing I want to kill, and they're killing the little ones. You know, we're blessed. We have great hunting and fishing around here.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, you want to have the best. But, hey, some people hunt differently, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, one important note is to respect how other people. Don't bash them because that's what they enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm actually jealous. I wish I still got excited. And that's one thing that I love. You're talking about taking your kids hunting.
Yep.
That's the beautiful thing about taking somebody new hunting is you can kind of live through them.
You can watch it.
And through their experience and that excitement. And, you know, that's a lot of things as older hunters, as older outdoorsmen that we miss is we've kind of become dull to it.
Yeah.
Man, take somebody new. And that's what, you know, that first memory that I shared with you, that's something that I'm sure he enjoyed seeing how excited we got. And you'll love it. But
And like around here, you know, you got some guys, they hunt and they kill that one buck a year and it's a giant. And then you got other guys that just fill in the freezer, you know. Yeah, that's what you was talking about.
Main thing is be respectful with whatever you do. And I hate to see people waste and disrespect other people's stuff. Yeah. But,
no doubt. Yep. No doubt. Well, all right, man, look, I appreciate you coming and doing this big time. Yep. And I appreciate your office just letting you do this and trusting us to not kind of go at bashing the game warden.
There's no sense in it.
I mean, but I want us to be able to do it again one day, and I think it will do it. When it gets closer to deer season, and Tucker's duck questions, we'll try to do it.
Man, get me wrapped up now.
We'll have a good time with that. We will do it. We'll get that lined up maybe every couple months or so before season. We'll get back for sure and do it. And I want people, if anybody has a question that we need to ask, like we went over a while ago, comment. We'll have a post with this links to these podcasts on social media, and give us some questions. We'll try to go through them, and if we can't get him to answer them, we'll find somebody that can, or me or Tucker try to make something up, if nothing else.
Yeah, we'll make something real good.
Don't say
I'm sorry.
I've got no questions. Yeah, we'll have to call Ernie.
We'll see if we can get him on here one day. I don't know. I don't know if we could ever pull it off.
I don't know. You might have towed him down here.
I don't think he's going to fight if you bring him. So we'll see how that goes.
But trick him into it.
Yeah, we'll have to trick him. Put these headphones on and talk, Ernie.
I can't trick him into coming down here for nothing. So I don't know if he's
coming. I mean,
I don't know. But either way, look, I appreciate everybody's giving us your time. And we will do this again next week. So until then, be careful and we'll see you later. I'll figure out how